Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to let traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. We'll jump straight into it. I'm going to catch up a yarn there with beautiful sister Cassie Lang from Murrawa Law, based in Brisbane. And I got on the line. Very good morning, Cassie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Brev. How are you?
I'm very good.
In this COVID restriction environment that we're all living in today.
Yes, that's right. And plus the winter's upon us. And also...
Wait, so you guys don't get winter in Cairns. What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to soften the blow in regard to where I live and where you live. But anyway, yeah, it's warm up here, beautiful up here, and going out for a swim this afternoon.
Oh, I'm freezing. I'm in a jumper, track pants and Ugg boots. So.
There you go. Look, we're yarning up strong here about defamation. Now, just in case anyone needs a refresher, do you want to remind everyone about Dylan Volla, that deadly brother, and about the defamation case that he's involved?
So a few people might remember a couple years ago, Four Corners on the ABC did a big story about the Don Dale Youth Detention Centre.
Yes.
And they were investigating the mistreatment of the Indigenous youth at the hands of the guards. And out of that investigation, there was a number of media stories and outcry about the way that those youth were treated. Mm. And as a result, then we had that Royal Commission into youth detention centres. So this is all coming out of that. That's what started it, and now...
So who's defamed Dylan Volla?
So what has actually happened is that as part of, you know, the media sharing these stories as they do, you know, one media reports on something and everyone jumps on it and they all share the various stories and do their own summary of the issues, there was a number of really big media giants. So we had the Sydney Morning Herald, the Australian, the Centralian Advocate in the Northern Territory, Sky News Australia, and the Bolt Report, which in the case are called the applicant defendants. And they all put up a number of Facebook posts between 2016 and 2017 about Mr. Volla. And then what happened is as they were sharing these stories, when you get on those newspaper and those media websites, there's always right down the bottom of the story, there's a section where the members of the public are able to post comments.
Mm.
And, you know, and then you normally see people get into arguments, you know, as they do about what's written in the news article. And what happened...
But someone's comment doesn't seem to have much to do with the actual media giant. Is that right? What is the court case about?
Well, this is where it's actually, from a legal side of things, it's actually really interesting. It's a really... It's a interesting question of law and something that as business owners and anyone who manages either as a Facebook page... a website that allows people to comment. It's going to be a very interesting case because what happened is that Mr. Volla has tried to sue these media people, and basically they've come back saying, you can't sue us because we didn't make the comments. These are just our website.
But they had a platform for people to make comments.
They had the platform. That's exactly right. So he initially sued them in the New South Wales Supreme Court, and... the judge there, Justice Rothman, has said, yes, these media giants, you can sue them. They definitely can be party to your defamation case because they had a platform.
Mm. Well, if they print something, for example, in a newspaper, their statement is their statement. What people say against that doesn't matter. But when you're talking about a platform which is open up to the public, you've created a space where people can go and virtually defame somebody.
Yeah, so Justice Rotham says, yes, they can be sued. Obviously, the media giants aren't happy with that answer, so then they go take it to a higher court and what we call appeal the decision.
Mm.
So it's then gone to the New South Wales Supreme Court with three justices. Also, found the same answer. So they've come back saying yes as well. Mm. And what they say, the reasoning is they give a comparison between what people like media outlets and businesses, Facebook pages and their web pages, as very similar to people who own buildings and have, say, notice boards or billboards where people post, you know, you can put up a billboard and you can put up a sign or a comment. And in the past, there have been a number of defamation cases where people have posted defamatory stuff on billboards.
Mm.
And the owner of the building has been found to be guilty in part of the defamation action itself because they allowed for that statement to be posted on the billboard on their building. So what the court has said is, well, a Facebook page that you manage and own and control is very similar to that of a building. So that's why they said, yes, they can actually be sued and will be able to be party to this defamation case.
So what I'm picking up then, that's similar to like in a physical sense, if they own a building and you walk in and there's water on the floor but they didn't have signs up after just mopping, you slip over, sprain your ankle, you can sue them.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. It's like it's a
same
platform.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. So Vola started an action and got a favourable answer to a particular question in that action, and then the defendants became the applicants about that particular question, yes?
Yes, yeah, so it's tricky. So when they then took it to the higher court, they then become the person, to what we call the person making the application. So then because they're asking the higher court to say, hang on a second, we don't agree with what this single judge has said, we now want you to have a look at this and, you know, we think he's made an error at law, because that's really the only real reason you can ask another court to have a look at your case. Once you get a decision by judges, you have to say that you disagree or you think there has been a fundamental error by them at law.
So as the Court of Appeal decided against the media outlets, does that mean that Vola has won his defamation case?
No, so he hasn't won his defamation case, but what it means is that because he started his defamation case and tried to sue, like, and said, I'm going to sue you, and they've come back saying, you can't sue us because
we're protected.
We didn't say anything, we're protected.
Mm.
So then what happens is that actual defamation case was put on hold while they then had to look at, the court had to look at this question, well, okay, are they right? Can they actually be a party? So this is actually a little win because the courts have now said, no, you can be sued. You do have a responsibility as the manager of the Facebook page and the your website. So, no, you actually go back to your defamation case and you can be sued. So now their trial will start where he will now sue them and they will have to participate and defend themselves in the defamation case.
So the brother Dylan Vola has got a deadly lawyer.
Yeah, he does have a deadly lawyer. And one thing that's really interesting is that defamation cases are the only non-criminal trials where you get a jury.
Okay, well, you get a jury.
So you know how when criminal we get juries?
Yep.
When you're doing a civil, you don't normally have a jury. It's normally just, you know, both sides and the judge. But
that's right.
For defamation,
you're going to have a jury.
Case, you will get a jury, yep.
Oh.
But, yeah, so it's going to be interesting. So this will be a case that everybody, you know, in the...
Well, this could open up a can of worms in regard to the space we live in regarding social media and what have you.
Yep. We just think, you know, it also might put members of the community on notice too, that when you're posting on Facebook pages about other people, you might just want to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you wreck yourself and you end up in the news and we're doing a BBM session.
Yeah, that's right. Don't go there. Too funny. Look, fantastic. Look, so there it is in regard to, like I said, the conversation is about Dylan Vola and Indigenous teenager detained at the Don Dale Youth Detention has put up regarding defamation and statements made about him on the platform by the so-called media giants, and thinking that they said, no, you can't touch us. Well, in actual fact, we can. You defame me, is what he's saying.
Yep.
Yeah. Very, very deadly. Thank you for sharing this with us. So we're watching this carefully. When does a court case happen?
So it'll be going to trial. So now we just got to wait to see what the outcomes of that trial were. So once we know what the outcome is, we'll do a little update.
Please do, because we're here doing the radio stuff. If you can focus in on the legality, especially of this case, then let us know what the outcome, for sure.
Yeah, I think I do. We definitely will be monitoring this, because, you know, we also have a Facebook page and a website. So, you know, we also want to be monitoring, because making sure people are monitoring the comments that people put on any of our posts as well.
Yes, deadly. All right, fantastic, Cassie. Thank you very much for sharing. You are from Murrawa Law. You are a black woman and a lawyer at that. So how deadly are you? But with that, tell us about your deadly firm that you work for, Murrawa Law, please.
So Murrawa Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm. We specialise in commercial and Indigenous land law, and you can check us out and get all our contact details at our website, which is murrawalaw.com.au.
Murrawa Law, represent. Thank you, my sister. All the best to you. Stay warm and stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Trev. You too. Bye.
Bye, Dar. A beautiful yarn with Cassie Lang in regard to defamation and the platform that we use in regarding social media. Well, media giants have had a platform and people have defamed that deadly young brother, Dylan Voller, and he's got a leg to stand on, pardon the punt, in regards to a defamation case. So there it is. Makes us all think before we jump out there, become keyboard warriors and defame people. Be very, very careful, because that is a platform that you can be sued by in regard to defamation. So look before you leap, or look before you type, as I should say. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yarn with Baldy and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM, Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly. Jabana, Lolo John, Lola Mangularje, Jabana, Warwa, Kalagare, Rapangularje, Jabana, Warwa, Kolonga. Yeah, to the deadly, that beat, that's Japana with Yoti Indy here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So give me a call and have your say. Now, Australians urge to keep the world open for people living with dementia. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO of Dementia Australia, Marie McCabe on the line. Marie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Trevor. Good morning to you and to your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Marie, where are you based?
I live in Melbourne.
Cold. I'm in far north Queensland, yes. I'm sitting here with a pair of board shorts and singlet talking to you in Cairns, North Queensland. Sorry, I didn't mean to torment you like that.
You're definitely tormenting me. I'm rugged up down here.
Okay, look, thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important hat that you wear as the CEO of Dementia Australia. And Dementia Australia is urging all Australians to keep the world open for people living with dementia. Pardon a punt, but forgetting our loved ones is what you're saying?
Well, one of the challenges, Trevor, as you know, we've all had a taste of isolation and what it's like to be socially isolated with the restrictions that have been imposed with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yes.
And for many of us, as these are relaxed, we'll continue to go about our daily business and, you know, return to whatever the new normal is. But that's not the case for people living with dementia, and what they often experience day in, day out is social isolation. Mm-hmm. And this campaign is designed to really raise awareness about that, for us to look at ways that we can support them and to take a pledge. And a great way is for community leaders at community health centres to go through this with people and discuss how we might take the pledge and make a difference to people living with dementia.
Yes, look, and when we're talking about make a pledge, would you agree that there is discrimination and that can happen in many ways with dementia advocates? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I really think that the discrimination is not intentional. And what I think happens is that we don't understand dementia. In a way, it's a very invisible disability. If somebody's got their arm in a sling or they're on crutches, it's easy to see that they might need assistance with something. But for people living with dementia, it's not obvious. And that's the thing, I think, is the challenge. I think that what people don't understand or don't what we can't see, we often don't understand, and what we don't understand, we avoid. And in many ways, people are discriminated against, and it's not intentional. Sometimes people say things to try and help people feel better. They might say something like, oh, look, you know, you don't look like you've got dementia, or you must have the form that doesn't affect you in any way. And you know, with dementia, with the diagnosis of dementia, there's always a loss of function. So something that people could once do, they're not able to do anymore. It really does have a profound impact on their lives.
And when we're talking about dementia, we're talking about, within a family, a family member, a tests and what have you, and doctor appointments, are aware that they have dementia. But people who are more, you're living alone, so to speak, what makes it a double whammy bammy in that sense, yeah?
Absolutely, and you raise a really great point, Trevor, because of the 460,000 Australians living with dementia, 70% live in the community, and of that 70%, there's a large percentage of people that live alone.
Yes.
So it's so important for us as a community to reach out, to see what we can do to support them, and also for those that don't live alone to support their carers, because without carer support, people living with dementia are not able to be supported.
Sure. Carers are at the table in the caring department. Dementia Australia is in that space as well?
Yeah, we represent, we advocate on behalf of carers. We provide support programs, education and services for carers as well, Trevor.
So in actual fact, what can we do as Australians in regard to, it's probably just basic, simple, honestly, love and respectful communication with people.
Yep, and that's a beautiful way to put it. And, you know, often we know of people who are living with dementia, and it's about reaching out. There's so much that we could do. You know, we can offer to go to the supermarket or to pick up people's medication, to be able to have a cup of coffee together. You know, we can virtually distance and have a cup of coffee and do whatever it is that we can to help people keep engaged.
Look, it's a yucky disease, isn't it, Marie, in regards to, especially if you are in amongst family and the loved ones see the client deteriorating in the mental sense, you know. It's a patient's thing, and it's a repetitive conversation in a good way, in a loving way, which is good medicine, yeah?
Absolutely, and you know, it can be devastating for families to see their loved one lose their memory, lose their ability to do the things that they were once so adept at doing, and to be able to lose that communication and that connection with loved ones. And the more we can do to support people, the better that, you know, the more respected, loved and nurtured people will feel, the more connected and included, and the better it is for their health and well-being.
Okay, our conversation here on National Radio, Indigenous Radio, is a tool, a vehicle in regarding promoting Australians to be open for people living with dementia. So a very important conversation, Marie.
Indeed, very important. Thank you so much for being willing to raise the profile, Trevor. We very much appreciate it.
No, thank you very much, and thank you for coming to the program. And love out there to all the mob there with dementia, and we need to do our bit as Australians, and we are in this together, so to speak, yes?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Maria, all the best to you, your team there and your family. Stay safe.
And likewise, Trevor. Bye now to all the listeners.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there with CEO Marie McCabe from Dementia Australia. And Australians are urged to keep the world open for people living with dementia. And whatever you can do in regarding supporting people with dementia, Marie has mentioned, doing their shopping, having a conversation, having a cup of tea, and helping that way, and just be open-minded to the support. And that's a good medicine that we can give to our loved ones out there with dementia. Have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. 6. Call the number, yarning with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS. To Daily Mob, 1-800-422-416, 1126 in Queensland. That's the time. So about 34 minutes to have you saying yarn up strong. To Daily, my sisters, Rochelle Watson Pitt. Here's her daily track. One love, my sister.
Oh, I love you, sister girl. Oh, I love you, sister girl.
I've seen you grow up, a lovely Murray girl. But now you're a woman with not a care. You're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister. You're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister. Stand proud, my Murray girl.
Oh, sister girl. Oh, I love you, sister girl.
Well, you may. In the many years to come, but just hold your head high and remember where you come from. Just remember, 'cause you'll always have family. Don't be frightened, never be. No, no, 'cause your precious family, they will always hold you dear. And you're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister. You're the best one in this world. You're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister. Stand proud, my Murray girl. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, don't be shy, my sister. Just stand up and speak your mind. You're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister. And you're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister. Stand proud, my Murray girl. Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, I love you, sister. Ooh.
Well, I'm talking about my mother, and I'm talking about my auntie, and I'm talking about
dreams, yet they both come from broken families. She gave him hope, he gave us smokes. No one knew that they were selling dope. Living on the edge like most teenagers do. Puppy love soaking up on a Sunday afternoon. It was a ride at first, a little play pushing. Thought nothing of it till it pushed the cushion in my face to make me not breathe and call. Almost seen me playing on that all seesaw. Jealousy like a crack in the pavement. Slaps me, grabs me, says he doesn't mean it. How could I miss the warning signs as I look deep in his eyes? How could he tell me lies?
So sick of you bringing me down. I'm so sick of you hurting me. So sick of you bringing me down. I'm so sick of you hurting me. So sick of you bringing me down. I'm so sick of you hurting me. So sick of you.
Let go, I'm trying to break free, but it's got me trapped in a deep blue sea. My vision is dark and I can't really see. Got a hole in my heart from what he done to me. There is no excuse for the hurt that you cause. You yelling and screaming and slamming them doors. The baby is crying and you arguing more. Pushing and fighting and punching the walls. I love him so much I can't really leave, but I'm sick of him making me constantly bleed. I'm begging to God on my hands and my knees, begging you stop and I'm begging you please. You promised your family that you're gonna change. Every chance that you get, you always the same. I'm scared if you don't, I'll be dead in my grave, and you'll be the one who takes all the blame.
I wish I'd seen the signs. Oblivious, thinking you were fine. White picket fence in the love of your life. What I would give just to go back in time. What I fail to understand is how a soulmate could do that much damage with his hands. Walk around and call himself a man. It's like death to us parts as a sinister ring. How could he take something so pure with
the Disturbing the Peace, as Othia featuring Talia Woolgram here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say, but call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Baldy One. Your host for National Talk Black is Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BB and Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Now, there is a national tragedy on our own doorstep which cannot be ignored. While Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people make up 3% of the total Australian population, they account for 29% of total adult prisoners population in Australia, and 58% of the juvenile detention population. This makes them one of the most incarcerated populations in the world. Now, a statement on High Court ruling of unlawful use of force in Don Dale by Law Council President Pauline Wright. We have the President on the line there, Pauline Wright. A very good morning, Pauline. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Pauline?
I'm based on the central coast of New South Wales at beautiful Avoca Beach.
Okay, lovely. Fantastic. Well, we're here in far north Queensland, Cairns. Look, a very important conversation we're talking about here. The High Court's decision that the deliberate and intentional deployment of tear gas on four teenagers were prison officers in Darwin's Dondale Youth Centre was unlawful. Yep?
That's right. That's right.
Just elaborate on that, please. Yeah.
Powerful, it's a really powerful reminder that the use of force on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples will not be tolerated in Australia, and in fact, the use of tear gas is unlawful.
All right. Yes, thank you. So the Australian Law Reform Commission just reported the incarceration rates of Aboriginal and Torres Strait people more than 2 years after its publication. Yeah.
That's right. What we're waiting for in Australia is a comprehensive response to that Pathways to Justice report that was published by the Australian Law Reform Commission more than 2 years ago. And the Law Council has been calling on governments to work together to implement all of those recommendations so that the law is enforced fairly, equally and without discrimination in relation to bail, parole, mandatory sentencing, police procedures and practices right across the board.
So we're waiting on the response from the government on that, is that right?
We are.
So it's a waiting game. It's in the so-called intray, isn't it, Pauline?
That's right. We've been waiting on it for too long.
Yes.
And it's time that our government moved to ensure that this doesn't happen anymore. The High Court has said that using tear gas on children in detention is unlawful. And it's time that the government now moves to ensure that that can't happen again.
Well, we don't want no fatality with what's happening in the world at the moment regarding George Floyd, which has shone the light back here in Australia in our own backyard regarding black deaths in custody. We don't want to go down that track.
We most certainly don't. And it's great to see that in Australia the discussion has been peaceful on
yes,
this.
Yes.
But it's nonetheless powerful. And the Law Council really believes that considered peaceful but powerful discussion is what should happen. And we're calling on the government to take a justice reinvestment approach
mm-hmm.
so that funds that are spent at the moment on incarcerating Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are redirected towards diversion and prevention of crime and support and rehabilitation programs. And that's going to much better affect the numbers of people who are in jail who shouldn't be.
Sure, exactly. And when we have the title of the so-called law enforcements, probably not a good word to use in regard to law or police officers as such, you know. They wear the uniform, but no one is above the law. And where you wear the uniform, there is detaining a person, but if you go over that line, then it becomes a criminal offence, even though you wear the uniform, yep.
That's exactly right. And there's a way, unfortunately, we know that young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are targeted by police much more than non-Aboriginal, non-Indigenous people are targeted by police. It's not that they commit crime more often, it's that they're more targeted.
Mm. Well, the old phrase, one bad apple on a card don't mean they're all bad. And the assumption is you're black, so you're a criminal.
That's right. And there can be no assumption that black people are inherently more criminal than anybody else. And we know that that's not the case, but they are more widely incarcerated.
Very, very important conversation. And look, hats off to Law Council of Australia doing their bit in regarding equality across the board, especially in the legal sense. And I thank you very much for sharing, Pauline.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It's always good to talk to you.
All the best to you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Deadly Yarn there with the President of Law Council of Australia, Pauline Wright, and talking about the so-called intray in regard to the Australian Law Reform Commission and Path to Justice report in the incarceration rates of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people more than 2 years after its publication. Still in the so-called intray, but with the death of brother George Floyd over in the States, has shone the light on regarding black deaths in custody. And we're talking about we don't want it to go down that track, but there's 430-odd cases in this country. We've got our own Black Lives Matter in this country, and it's black deaths black deaths in custody. So the High Court's decision that the deliberate and intentional deployment of tear gas on four teenagers by prison officers in Darwin's Dondale Youth Detention Centre was unlawful, and in time reminded that the use of force on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples will not be tolerated in this Australia. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yana with Baldy and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer, Brit Media 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS. We acknowledge the Mabo family and regarding Mabo, the court's decision. And we had Mabo Day the other day. And with that, let's go to the Mill Scissors with the deadly track, Mabo.
Rose, where warrior reef and darling shores, wild winds battered the tiny
the shining light of liberty and dawning of equality. Mabo. Na 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 na. I never thought about tomorrow, another pain that I've been causing for so long. I love you,
won't you come back home?
So just listen before you walk away. It's gonna be somebody,
somebody
day. I know I said this time before, I need to kick you in the face. Baby, I'm sorry.
Na 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 na.
red, yellow and black. The young men of Abergarry. Big shout out, Abergarry Mob. This is your daily program here, National Talk Black. Yarnin with the ball here on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer, Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So the program is National Talk Black, so you can talk black, have your say in Yarnin Armstrong on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. Now, the statement here says, it's ridiculous. Ministers hit out at decision to allow Sydney Black Lives Matter protests. The New South Wales Police Minister has labelled anyone who attends protests during the coronavirus pandemic as certainly insane, is what his statement is there. And international protests have thrown light on police treatment of Indigenous Australians. Police Minister David Allard called local protests not my kind of cause. Senior politicians said that they were concerned for public health amid the pandemic, and which is very important in regard to the conversation of the protests, you know, and black lives do matter, black deaths in custody here in this country, over 430, and we are fighting for our right as First Nation people in this country, but there is a pandemic upon us, so if we're talking to all the mob out there, if you're listening to all the mob out there, if you are attending the protests, keep in mind regarding the 1.5, you know, do what you need to do, but stand up and stand strong for your mob. Have your say, Yarn Strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. Going to catch up now, I believe, with Suzette from Wuchopperin and talk about their deadly cultural program that they've got running. Suzette, very good morning. How are you?
I am well, and yourself?
I'm very good, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, sis.
So I am a Torres Strait Islander woman. I've got family ties to Yam Island and Sabah Island in the Torres Strait.
Fantastic. And you're at Wuchopperin, and what's your role there at Wuchopperin, sis?
I actually want to introduce my team first, if that's okay.
Please do, yes.
I have Michael Canuto.
Michael Canuto, good morning.
Martika Stafford.
Morning.
Martika, good morning.
And our lady of the hour, Shanti Bernard.
Ooh, shine the light. There you go. Good morning, team.
Okay.
Now, we're talking about a new program, aren't we, Suzette?
Yes, cultural mentoring.
Yeah, so tell us about it.
I wanted to actually introduce Mick. He can actually explain it a little bit better for us. He'll get it kick-started anyway.
Good, let's go. Thank you.
Wonderful. Hey, morning, Trev. Sorry.
Morning.
Yeah. Suzette just sold me here, but that's all good.
That's all good?
I'll spin a yarn. So, yeah, we've got this cultural mentoring funding here that's come through from YJ.
Yep.
So we're trying to base the activities, you know, on getting back to culture, getting back to land and country sort of thing.
So, which is a good medicine for our mob, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, that's right. You know, even just sitting with these young people, you know, just sitting on the beach, you know, they open up that bit more and, you know, have them yarn ups and just, and we want to hopefully get them to take that back to their families too, so.
Sure.
And have those positive experiences there going through that. So what we're doing at the moment is, you know, doing a bit of fishing, going to the beach, chucking line, casting net, you know, walking through mangrove, trying to find crab and stuff. We've got to get these, I don't know how to find yakul yet, but a lot of these young fellas do, so they're teaching us just as much as
you become the student, my brother.
That's right. And that's what we want to become as well. We want to learn as much as about them as they can learn from us sort of thing, because I know they've got a lot of knowledge as well to pass on to us. There's a lot of things we don't know that they know, so, and we want to learn from them as much as, you know, they're learning from us.
Well, our young ones are very in tune, with Mother Earth and with their culture, you know, and so listen to what they're saying and pick up what they're putting down, so to speak, yeah?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And as you're tracking through that mud and stuff like that too, you know, them conversations just naturally
flow.
They're pretty amazing young people, some of these kids.
Good, fantastic. So the program has started, Michael?
Yeah, it's kicked off. How long have we been doing it for now, people?
Since March.
Since March? Majority of our referrals come via YJ, Justice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we welcome self-referrals, anything like that. If they're at risk of entering that sort of system, that YJ system, family's a bit worried that, you know, hanging around the wrong people or staying out late at night, you know, like, yeah, we like to get involved with those kids as well and families.
And a good thing too, because the pandemic that we're living in at the moment with COVID-19, when mob out on country chucking a line, well, they're not picking up no virus, you know what I mean? That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's right. It has been a little tricky to get it kicked off just because of COVID, but we've sort of, we've tried to jump through a few hoops and trying to keep ourselves and the kids as safe as possible, so which we've been doing, but now everything's opening up. We really want to try and get it out there and get it known. And
how's it work? Do our young ones sign on and you guys have a vehicle to take them to the fishing spot? Is that how it works, bro?
Yeah, that's right. Generally, the referral stuff come from YJ, but then we make contact with the family, talk with the young person, make sure everyone's comfortable and happy to jump on board, and we just go pick up the young person on a designated day, go out for a couple of hours, chuck line, yarn up, have feed.
Good.
That's it.
And what sort of feed are we talking? Are we talking barbecue or we feed on what we catch? Yeah? What are we talking about feed? Barbecue? Can you hear me? No, I lost them. We'll try and get them back there. That's the Wu Chopperin team. We're talking about the new cultural program that they got going. We'll try and call them back and continue that conversation. And it'll be a quick conversation. We've got 4 minutes left on the program here on National Talk Black. It's a one-hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, the Queensland time. And we are coming up to the time where we have the top of the hour. We know the news with NIRS, and they do a fantastic job in letting people know what's happening out there in the streets. So we'll try and catch them back. We chop and lost them there. We'll get them back there. But yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Make it a quick call, you mob, because Murray going to sign off here. But look, 24-7, it's a text, 045-714-0550. And like I said, we go across the nation thanks to NIRS. And you can also check out our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And you can check out our podcasts and all our photographs and our yarns and conversation with the mob there going across the nation. I believe we've got Wu Chopperin on line again. Let's try again and see if we've got him there. Line two, that is, I believe. No, still trying to get him on line there. But, look, a different world we're living in at the moment, the pandemic, but also with the death of George Floyd in America and in regard to black deaths in custody. It has shined a light on us in regarding our situation here in this country and how black people are incarcerated and being treated. I'm just going to check with Wu Chopperin. Wu Chopperin, you there?
Yes, we are now. We're back. We're still
back. A virus in the phone, but we fixed it. It's all good. I was asking about when taking the young ones fishing, and you mentioned giving them a feed. Are we talking barbecue or are we talking about kokai, that food that they catch? Which way?
Well, not necessarily what we catch, but we, being the base of the health organisation as well, we're trying to create and give them that awareness around healthy eating as well. So we really try and target that for the kids.
Good, fantastic. And like I said, how do people, young ones, how do they sign up on board? Are they communicating by phone or email? How's that operation?
Linked in, obviously, like we said, our direct referral pathway is through YJ.
Okay.
But then we've also sort of gotten other partnership agencies where if the child is at risk, we can actually cater to that as well, because we really want to mentor our kids onto a different and more positive path.
Exactly. And look, it's a way of communicating with our young ones. And look, a very important tool. Loving hearing the program that you guys are doing there. Hats off to Wu Chopperin and the Deadly team. And they'll keep doing what you're doing. And thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you.
All the best, team.
You're all right.
Too deadly. You mob, thank you very much for your company. Murray going to sign off here with National Talk Black. Stay tuned for the news coming up here soon, NIRS. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We don't have a vaccine for the virus, so it's still upon us. And look, march strong, you mob, regarding black deaths in custody, but keep your distance. Too deadly.